ओम गणितमिनंदस्य जनार्दनशलाकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं प्रकरणायं ददाति स्वाहा मनसिकोपदेशश्च कृपसिन्धुभैव च पितरं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Bani Maharaj had been tied up by the ropes of Varuna, actually by the desire of Vamanadev. Even after Bali Maharaj had surrendered everything, given everything to Vamanadev, he'd even offered his body to Vamanadev as the place where the Lord could place his third step. At that time, Bali Maharaj spoke to Vamanadev, not expressing any resentment or disturbance, but rather seeing this as the mercy of the Lord and feeling very fortunate that he could fulfill his vow to give the Lord whatever he desired. And what did the Lord desire? Three steps of man. So Prahlad Maharaj then came as Bali was bound by the ropes of Varuna. And there were three personalities there, actually. One was Prahlad Maharaj, and of course Bali Maharaj, and all his associates were there, and Lord Vamanadev and his associates were there. But there were three other personalities too. There was Prahlad Maharaj, who had just come and offered prayers. He offers two prayers to the Lord. And then also, in addition, Lord Brahma was there. And also Vindhyavali. Vindhyavali was the wife of Bali Maharaj. So they all wished to speak to Lord Vamandev, trying to obtain the release of Bali from the ropes. So Prahlad Maharaj spoke first, and we read these verses during our last class. And he said, "It is your lordship who gave Bali Maharaj the great opulence of being the heavenly king, and today you have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his being the king of heaven, having so much opulence, was placing him in the darkness of ignorance." What ignorance? When one has opulence, one tends to become proud and forget by whose grace one has the opulence. Forget Krishna, rather thinking oneself, it is due to my power, my intelligence, this and that, that's put me in this position. So he said, "You're very kind," Prahlad said, "because you've taken away the cause of his ignorance, his opulence. This was very wonderful and merciful of you. Because, as Prahlad says in text 17, which is the last verse that we read last week, material opulence is so bewildering that it even makes a learned, self-controlled man forget to the search of the goal of self-realization." In other words, one in self-realization, possibly he'll become known as a great devotee, a great yogi, a great mystic. And then people will give him so many things and pray to him, and he'll become bewildered. Some pride will enter his heart. He'll become bewildered. So even great souls tend to become bewildered. A learned, self-controlled man, forget for the search for the ultimate goal of the search for self-realization. So you can see everything, and therefore you acted. Therefore, Prahlad offers his respectful obeisances. And now, text 18, Sukadev Goswami continued, "O King Prickett, Lord Brahma then began speaking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands." So Lord Brahma began to speak on behalf of Bali Maharaj. But just as he was beginning to speak, Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamandev Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke as follows. So Prabhupada explains it very clearly, what was going on in his purport. Although Brahma was speaking, Lord Brahma was speaking, he had to stop for a while because Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, who was very agitated and afraid, wanted to say something. So she burst in on the scene and she was so excited due to her anxious condition about Bali Maharaj that she immediately started speaking. Although Brahma was speaking, it's also interesting to note that Sukadeva Goswami is explaining this to Prickett Maharaj, who had lost everything too. How did he lose everything? He was cursed to die within 7 days, and it's already nearing that time. All canto 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and now basically canto 8 has been spoken. His time is getting close to die. Krishna had taken everything from him in the form of the curse of the Brahmana boy. So Bali Maharaj's exemplary action was great for him. No, this is Krishna's mercy. Everyone was saying it was Krishna's mercy. Helping Prickett Maharaj become fixed in the depth of that realization. But then Vindhyavali began to speak. So she said, "O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming such proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe?" So actually Vindhyavali, this is the one statement that she wanted to make. Vindhyavali was criticizing Bali Maharaj, saying that he was so foolish, he was thinking that something was his, and therefore he could give something in charity to you. But actually, the whole universe, the entire creation is yours. So what can one actually give to you? He was thinking, I'll give charity and make my name even stronger, she's saying, and he'll become famous as a great charity giver, as a great truthful person, and thereby enjoy. But you are, everything is yours. What can be given to you? You are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe. So her realization was very, very deep. And Prabhupada explains in his purport, Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be proprietors of the universe, for they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. So Prabhupada is speaking against the contemporary mood by which the world is governed. This is mine, this country is proud, the proud people of this country and the proud people of that country, and here's the border of here, and this belongs to me, and that part over there across the river belongs to you. But actually, the land across the river and the mountain and the glen neither belongs to you, nor does it belong to me. That island, we may fight over it, saying it belongs to this country and another country. No, it belongs to that. We both have our claims for it. But actually, the country doesn't own anything. The country is a recent creation. It will come, it will go, Yes, the countries, their names, their passports, their borders will shift and change. The governments will come, they will go. The people will come, they'll go. But Krishna's proprietorship, it never comes, it never goes, it always has been. So she is criticizing Bali Maharaj's mood, and Prabhupada is criticizing everyone's mood, thinking something belongs to me. Something might be in the care, in the old days of the Krishna consciousness movement, whenever anyone had a book, they would always write, in the care of such and such person. People thought it was outlandish to say, this is my property. No, it's legitimate to say, this is in my care. But it's Krishna's property. It's in my care to use. Make sure it's used in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada continues. Through demarcation of nationalism, demoniac mood, because it's against reality, against Krishna. Thinking this is mine and that part is yours. They say this part I can give in charity and this part I can keep for my enjoyment. These are all demoniac conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Idam madhyamaya labdhamimam prapsyase manoratam. Thus far I have acquired so much wealth and land. Now I have to add more and more. In this way I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compete with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. Prabhupada's purport continues. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, punishing him in a very special way that he had never punished anyone before, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. So she was really in a very deep and heavy mood of realization. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1861, Ishara Savabhutanam Riddhise Arjuna Tishtiti Ramayan Savabhutani Yantrudani Maya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of the material energy. A body, there are so many different species of life, 8,400,000 different species of life that are like dresses of the living entity. And according to the karma, according to the activities and what the living entity deserves, he is given a new dress, a new body. But he does not die when the body dies. His dress is changed, but he remains forever the soul. So that body is given by the Lord. So even the body, first she criticized him for thinking the land was his and he possessed it, and then the body, it's mine, I'm giving it to you. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belonged to him? Thus Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Tyaktariyastvad Avaropitakar Kartri Vedha, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men who are agnostics disbelieving in the existence of God has increased. trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world. And unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thinking in terms of proprietorship. Demonic. This is just how the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita describes the demonic nature. Prabhupada quoted it. So much do I have today. I'll increase my possessions, my proprietorship. And in this way, I will enjoy. And this person is my enemy. I shall kill him. And this person is my enemy. I'll finish him. Demonic mentality. Thus there is a great need, Prabhupada continues, for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by the propaganda of such demons. If the present status quo is allowed to continue, people will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demonic agnostics. And although the propaganda of the demonic agnostics is that we are making progress, we're evolving, everyone is becoming, living longer, becoming happier, becoming wealthier, but actually people are increasing mostly in their suffering. And the suffering on the mental platform is even more prominent in this age than the physical platform. Although everyone has to work like dogs, the husband works, the wife works, and so much debt, shopping, consuming, in the mood of enjoyment, just debt, increasing the debt, the country's in debt, the people are in debt. The whole economy is based on people spending more than what they have, trying to enjoy more than what they deserve, not thinking that they have to pay everything back. This is karma, you have to pay back. You take a loan with your enjoyment now, and you have to suffer the payback going without later on. Demonic mentality. And the mood, the propaganda is just the opposite of reality. Just feed the people propaganda, let them enjoy movies, let them suffer, and the relief is some enjoyment of movies, some sports team being their heroes that may win. Illusion people in this way, have them crazy with intoxication, music, and they'll be completely in ignorance because, and when they die, anyway, it doesn't make any difference. Such demonic philosophy, atheistic philosophy. So the people are just carried away by this. So Prabhupada therefore says there's great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of the innocent people who are being carried away by the propaganda of the demons. So if the Krishna consciousness movement speaks like this, people naturally won't be very friendly to them because it erupts the illusion. It cracks and smashes the illusion of what's going on. The whole society is based on meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. This is what makes the world go round. And trying to accumulate more and more money so that one can engage in these four sinful activities. And the Krishna consciousness movement stands up and says, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no cigarettes, no coffee, no tea, no silly sports, no demoniac movies. Don't waste your time with crazy rock and roll. And everyone, do we expect everyone to say, wow, that was great, that's just what we wanted. You shouldn't enjoy, just don't spend your time trying to enjoy. Try to use your life, practice austerity. Everyone's going, hey, it's a great idea. Well, I've just been waiting for someone to tell me this. This is always what I wanted to do. Even the religionists, when they go to the churches and temples, they pray for something on the material level, even to the degree of, I want to go to heaven so I can enjoy there. But we say, no. We tried to say no, Prabhupada says no. And the great devotees say no, that no, I am not the enjoyer. Bhuktaram jagatapasam savalokamaheshwaram. It is Krishna who is the enjoyer. It is not me. And any other mentality is a demonic mentality. So we are truly going against the current. So Lord Brahma, after Vindhyavali spoke, Prahlad Maharaj had spoke, Vindhyavali had spoken, and now Lord Brahma is going to speak. All of them are really saying in their own way to release him. So they're all speaking to Lord Vamandev, the dwarf Brahma. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including his own body. By offering even water, newly grown grass or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. If someone offers you something insignificant, dear Lord, you reward them with an exalted result in the spiritual world. But this Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Patram Pushpam Vulam Toyam Yomam Vakta Prayachati Taraham Bhaktyupari Tamasnami Paratatmana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind that if an unsophisticated person with devotion and without duplicity offers at the lotus feet of the Lord a little water, a flower, a fruit or a leaf, the Lord accepts it. Then the devotee is promoted to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Brahma drew the Lord's attention to this subject and requested that he release Bali Maharaj, who was suffering, being bound by the ropes of Aruna. And whoever had already given everything, oh, Bali Maharaj, suffering, being bound by the ropes of Aruna, and who had already given everything, including the three worlds and whatever he possessed. Lord Brahma continued. Oh, then the Lord... The Lord replied. So there's some verses when he replies to Brahma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. He forgets reality, becomes bewildered and crazy because of material opulence. Starts proudly thinking, yes, I can control, yes, I can enjoy, friend, enemy. Mad, foolish, bewildered, intoxicated by the opulences. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. I remove the cause of his madness. Prabhupada's purport. A civilization that has become godless because of material advancement and opulence is extremely dangerous. Because of great opulence, a materialist becomes so proud that he has no regard for anyone and even refuses to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The result of such a mentality is certainly very dangerous. To show special favor, the Lord sometimes makes an example of someone like Bali Maharaj, who is now bereft of all his possessions. So someone who is poor or dull-witted, he may be very foolish and atheistical, but he can't cause very much trouble. He can get himself into trouble, okay. But he can't cause very much trouble to others because he has no influence. But a person who is very intelligent, or very, very wealthy, or opulent, or a country like that, that becomes atheistical, can cause great, great trouble. So therefore, that mentality, that atheistic, proud, demonic mentality, becomes still more dangerous. Still more dangerous if there's material opulence. So therefore, Krishna kindly took away his possessions. This is what the Lord says. While rotating in the cycle of birth and death, again and again in different species because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity by good fortune may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully independent. Thus, it is not always a fact that a living entity's loss of all opulence is a sign of the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him. The Lord can act in any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence, or he may not. So it's not that Prabhupada's making the point, that it's not that the sign, the only sign of God's mercy upon someone is when he takes everything away. Certainly we see this with Prabhupada himself, that for many, many years Prabhupada was preaching and he had very few material facilities, practically nothing. But then, after he went to the West, Krishna gave him so many material facilities. So that, does that mean that Krishna was more kind to Prabhupada and more merciful to Prabhupada when Prabhupada had nothing, and then when Krishna became displeased with Prabhupada, he gave him so much success? No, it wasn't like that at all. Krishna is independent. He deals with opulence as he likes. But when Krishna gives opulence to a pure devotee, it is for the use of that devotee in Krishna's service. That's also considered Krishna's special mercy. Because the pure devotee, he doesn't deal with opulence as a materialistic person deals with opulence, because he doesn't have a sense of proprietorship like a materialistic person. He doesn't have that demonic mentality like a materialistic person will have, to think, this is mine, I have this possession now, I can use it as I like carrots. So Prabhupada's purport continues. The Lord can act in any way he likes. He may take away one's opulence or he may not. There are varieties of forms of life, and the Lord treats them according to the circumstances, as he chooses. So he's ultimately the supreme independent. Generally, it is to be understood that the human form of life is one of great responsibility. Purusha prakriti stohi pungte prakriti jani gunan karanam guna sangasya sarasa joni janmasu. The living entity in material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. After thus rotating through many, many forms of life in the cycle of birth and death, the living being gets a chance for a human form. Therefore, every human being, especially one belonging to a civilized nation or culture, must be extremely responsible in his activities. He should not risk degradation in the next life, because the body will change, tathadehantara praptya. We should be extremely careful. To see to the proper use of life is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The foolish living entity declares freedom from all control, but factually he is not free. He is fully under the control of material nature. He must therefore be most careful and responsible in the activities of his life. So the Lord continues. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he's youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education, and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, is an indication of Krishna's favor. If someone has something but it is yet humble, that's Krishna's grace. One can't be proud of his humility either. One can't have things and think this belongs to Krishna, I'm so wonderful because I'm detached. That is another type of insanity. That realization, the realization is also Krishna's grace, and it comes by his grace, and like that it can be taken away too. Wealth, strength can be taken away, but realization can be taken away too. So therefore always, especially a devotee, remains humble. That's the speciality of bhakti yoga, that it has as its central principle dependence upon Krishna. And therefore it has as its central principle Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Sisna Manina Manadena Kirtaniya Sudhari, humility. Prabhupada's purport. When in spite of possessing these opulences, a person is not proud, that means that he is fully aware that all his opulences are due to the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He therefore engages all his possessions in the service of the Lord. A devotee knows very well that everything, even his body, belongs to the Supreme Lord. If one lives perfectly in such Krishna consciousness, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that one's being deprived of his wealth is not to be considered the special mercy of the Lord. If one continues in his opulent position, but does not become unnecessarily proud, falsely thinking that he is the proprietor of everything, this is the Lord's special mercy. 27. The Lord continues. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service, because they are the cause of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna's mercy to Bali Maharaj of taking everything away was because of an enjoying tendency that Bali Maharaj had. It's not taking everything away is in itself something of the Lord's mercy, the way that he gives mercy. No. These opulences never disturb a pure devotee. Prabhupada's purport. Devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, who was given unlimited material opulence, have the special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Kuvera wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction, but although Dhruva Maharaj could have asked him for any amount of material opulence, he instead begged Kuvera that he might continue his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, he wanted only the benediction of being fixed in constant remembrance of Krishna. When a devotee is fixed in his devotional service, there is no need for the Lord to deprive him of his material opulences. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never takes away material opulences achieved because of devotional service, although he sometimes takes away opulences achieved by pious activities. He does this to make a devotee prideless or put him in a better position in devotional service. If a special devotee is meant for preaching but does not give up his family life or material opulence to take to the service of the Lord surely takes away his material opulences and establishes him in devotional service. Thus the pure devotee becomes fully engaged in propagating Krishna consciousness. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous amongst the demons and unbelievers. For in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the words siddhan apina muyati are very important. A devotee is sometimes put into adversity while executing devotional service. In adversity, everyone laments and becomes aggrieved. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee, even in the worst condition, can understand that he is going through a severe examination by the personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj passed all such examinations as explained in the following verses. 29 and 30. This was how what the Lord is saying about what he did with Bali Maharaj. Because the Lord came and said, just give me 3 paces of land. And Bali Maharaj said, yes. And then the Lord took everything from him and said, I want more. More than everything. And Bali Maharaj said, yes, whatever you want. I'll even give you me, my head. Put your foot on my head. So he tricked Bali Maharaj. He took everything from him. He cheated him. And yet Bali Maharaj remained fixed in his devotion, his devotional vow of surrender to Krishna. So therefore the Lord says, although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test put before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is further proof of the Lord's mercy towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance and is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. The Lord continued, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Suvarni. So this was, I think this is right now, it's the seventh Manu, and during the eighth Manu, Bali Maharaj will become Indra and get his desire fulfilled to become the king of heaven. Prabhupada's purport. So now he's, after testing Bali Maharaj, he's going to reward him. So, okay, you wanted to become Indra, now you will become Indra in the next Manu. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of Lord Krishna. Here the word mat-asraya is very significant. Because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra, the demigods might naturally have been envious of him and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Supreme Personality of God had assured Bali Maharaj that he would always remain under the Lord's protection. Mat-asraya. Until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of King of Heaven, he shall live on the planet Sutal, which was made by Vishwakarma according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go and live there peacefully. O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutal, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. So Bali Maharaj was given a position that was hundreds of times better than the position that Lord Indra even had. The demigods even wished to have that, this being in charge of Sutal. But it was given to Bali Maharaj, and then in the next Manu he would become the Indra. On the planet Sutal, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. So actually, Bali Maharaj was able to see Lord Vamandev. He actually conquered Vamandev by giving everything to Vamandev, despite the fact that everything already belonged to Vamandev. And he became the doorkeeper. Vamandev was so purchased by Bali Maharaj that he became the doorkeeper. He was Bali Maharaj's devotion forced Vamandev, in one sense, into the service of his devotee, forced because of devotion, love. Because you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with demons and dhanavas will immediately be vanquished. Prabhupada's purport, which is the final purport of this chapter. The Lord assured Bali Maharaj of all protection. And finally, the Lord assured him of protection from the effects of bad association with the demons. Because there, Bali Maharaj was going to have all material opulence. But he was a devotee in the midst of the association of non-devotees. He was the king of the demons. So the fear of Bali Maharaj might be that he might be affected by that association and might resume a self-centered demonic mentality of which he thought he was the enjoyer again. But here, Lord Vamandev is saying, no, by my supreme prowess, by my power, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and dhanavas will immediately be vanquished. So all protection would be there. The Lord's disc, Sudarshan Chakra, would protect the rule of Bali Maharaj, and everyone would have to follow him on his planet of Sutal. And his own consciousness would be protected from the effects of bad association. This was the Lord's mercy. So Bali Maharaj certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious because his association was not purely devotional. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore assured him that his demoniac mentality would be annihilated. In other words, by the association of devotees, the demoniac mentality is vanquished. Satam prasangam amavirisam vido bhavanti ritkana rasayanaha kata. When a demon associates with devotees engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gradually becomes a pure devotee. Thus then the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Shastra would be quite honest, explaining the Prabhupada gives in purport to text 27. There's no need to write it, takes no material offense is achieved in his life and service.
In other words, that Krishna has given someone by virtue of that devotee's desire or need, or Krishna's desire or need, for him to do a particular service. So that awarded to the devotee by Krishna is not the same as karma. And when that awarded by Krishna, it won't be taken away by Krishna because it's there for a particular purpose, and the devotee strictly adheres to that purpose and doesn't think himself the proprietor. It's Krishna's.
Pure spirit cannot know the matter. Yes.
No. Yes. Yes, you're right. Pure spirit cannot own matter. Pure spirit has no need for matter. But sometimes, because we're in the material world, and then the spirit is the generating force within the body needs certain things. The body is composed of matter. All the things that a devotee can get his hands on, so to speak, and use in Krishna's service, all those things become spiritualized. The thing that makes matter matter is when it's used in illusion, for selfishly, in illusion. And that selfishness may be on the personal level, or the family level, or the nation level, or even the world level. But when that matter, that same matter, is used in God's service, then it is spiritualized. Because from the position of the spiritual position, there's no difference between matter and spirit on one level. Just like if for us the citizens, we think there's the criminal department, there's the police and the prison. That's really bad. I want to keep away from those. And there's there's the welfare department, and that's very, very good, because that helps people. But from the government's position, they support both the prison department. They're the ones supplying the energy and supporting the money, the finance to support the prison department and the welfare department. So from the government's position, it's not good or bad. But from the citizen's position, they make that discrimination. So from Krishna's position and from the devotee's position, matter, although the soul doesn't need matter, is not bad, because it's meant to be used in Krishna's service. But when it's used selfishly, then it has adverse effects for the soul, and it entangles him in matter and makes him actually think that he is matter, although he's not. So the soul can never die. Nahanyate hanyamane shirire. But because we identify with the body, when the body dies, we experience death. Just like, do you have a car?
Just was looking to buy one just before.
Oh, okay. But in any case, there's a tendency to, when you have something, or when you have a car, you identify with it. You think, this is mine, and that turns into, this is me, in a funny sense. So, and then if a car gets hit by another car, you feel pain, even though it doesn't have anything to do with you. But that's because of the identification. But when someone realizes that this is Krishna's, if he really realizes that, he cares for it as it's Krishna's property, but he doesn't have the false identification with it. He just uses it in God's service. So although the soul doesn't need matter, that doesn't mean that he can't use matter in God's service in this world where everyone is seeing only matter. And Prabhupada always would give the example, because you hear this all the time when you hear Prabhupada's lectures, of the microphone. This is matter, but it's being, when he was speaking certainly, it was being used purely in Krishna's service. So therefore it was spiritualized. It was cared for, but it was spiritualized. So it doesn't have the effects that matter has. Matter has the effect of entangling us in the material world. But matter used in Krishna's service has the opposite effect, the effect of liberating the person. But you can't use that as an excuse, say, oh, everything belongs to Krishna, and therefore, I'll use everything in Krishna's service, but inside be attached to it and be selfish. That type of hypocrisy only causes oneself trouble. Is that clear? Any other? Yes.
I was just wondering, how does one know whether one's opulence, social opulence, is from piety or whether it's from God-given?
Just use it in Krishna's service. That's the point.
In case you do, but you want to know.
In case you lose, you're planning on losing something. Did you lose your keys or something? Sometimes we, when something comes to us by Krishna's grace. See, a devotee, of course, will see everything that's come by Krishna's grace. And then if he loses it due to his carelessness, he can say, oh, that's Krishna's grace. But sometimes Prabhupada would chastise such a mentality and say, no, that is your foolishness. That's not Krishna's mercy. So possibly the devotees will tend to be hard on themselves in that way. They'll see their own faults. So that causes humility, hopefully. But when judging others, we should be lenient and liberal. But when analyzing our own situation, we could be somewhat strict to help our humility, but not so strict that we drive ourselves crazy, or crazier, either one. We tend to be hard on others and lenient when judging ourselves. We should be lenient in judging others, unless it's our duty to correct others. If we have that position, then we have to do that. But then it should be done with affection. But we tend to be lenient in judging ourselves and hard in judging others. And that should be reversed. Any other questions or comments? Thoughts? Realizations? Good jokes. Okay, then we'll go home. Okay, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow, Krishna willing, you'll finish the pastime of Bali Maharaj and read chapter 23. And then there's one more chapter in the 8th canto, and that is on Matsya, the Lord's fish incarnation. And then Krishna willing, we'll put that in two classes. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.